We're going into our discussion period now for the third lecture, and this is what I'd like you to think about. I'd like you to think about how it would feel if you had the privilege, and you do, of looking at everything as being all fantastic, as being what? Unconditional love. Could you look at everything as unconditional love? Could you look at all of life as unconditional love? Could you look at all experiences as unconditional love? That means love without conditions, love without rules, love without limitations. And you hear that? Love without rules. Love without rules. There are no rules governing this unconditional love. There are no rules. If you have a rule governing unconditional love, it's not unconditional love. How are you going to experience that in your life right now? How are you going to know that in your world right now? How are you going to be that in your world right now? How are you going to reveal all of the unconditional love that takes place in your life right now? How are you going to do it? Good question. Okay. Here are some suggestions. Write down every single day one or more blessings that come into your life. Now, as you write these blessings down, don't make them long, just make them a phrase or two. And as you have these blessings come in your life, and you write them down, you will begin to notice a pattern to your blessings. You'll begin to notice that your blessings are no longer about people, places, persons, and things, but your blessings will develop into a pattern of concepts, ideas. And when your blessings are a pattern of ideas, then what happens for you? Just as soon as your blessings are a pattern of happiness for you, then you will find that you are living more and more in your absolute awareness. You'll find that everything you're doing will be without reason. Everything you're doing will be without logic. Everything you're doing will be without any expectation that it be a success or a failure. Now let's run that again. If you believe in yourself, you will know that every expectation is a blessing for yourself. Every expectation, every experience you have is a blessing. Everyone. And the reason why I say everyone is simply that this is the way the principle works. And you're working on the principle. Now, as you start counting your blessings, you're going to make a transition. Your transition. You're going to make a transition to the awareness. To the awareness of the fact that you are absolute. You'll make a transition awareness into the realization that every word you speak is a word of blessing, a word of joy. It's fantastic. Now, don't worry if somebody else is doing something in the same space that you are. Don't worry if you go into your living room, kitchen, dining room, garage, or wherever, the lawn, and you find that somebody else is doing the same thing you are. That could happen. But rather than worrying, rather than being concerned, say to yourself, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. There is nothing more to be done. All is in divine order. Now, as you say, all is in divine order. As you say, all is in divine order, you will find that everything will flow for you in that divine order. You'll find that there will be no problems in your life. You'll find that you will have money for every purpose that delights you. You'll find that you will be surrounded by a beautiful group of people who make your life just rewarding beyond measure. You'll find that your pets will love you more than they ever did before. You'll find that your family will delight in your presence, but it won't matter to you. You will not do one single thing to make your family like you. You will not do one single thing to make your family like you. You will just be yourself and have fun. And when you are yourself and have fun, your family will say, that's a nice phrase you've got written down there. That's a good idea. I'm going to follow that too. That's great. That's beautiful. And when you find that, what's going to happen? You're going to feel just supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You're going to feel beyond imagination that all is done. Now, start today working on that. Start today putting the causes in motion for whatever it is you would like to have. Not your wish fulfillment, but it is done fulfillment. And the more you work on it is done fulfillment, the less you'll work on the wishes, the less you'll work on other things, and the principle revealed is so beautiful, so exciting, so brilliant. It's the type of thing you really want to do. And it's fun. Okay, now, did anyone have any comments they want to make about anything we've done this past couple of moments? Yes.
You say that. Okay.
Yes?
The question is, you say that.
Write it down.
Where is the question? There's no question.
Thank you.
You didn't come prepared.
If all right. Joseph gives us this statement here. The law says love unconditionally the whole world, including animal, insects, snakes, etc. But at home, at times, we find snakes, ants, consciously and unconsciously, what is the correct, the effect on the metaphysical life of the student, or a metaphysical student? All right, Joseph is saying all of his life from his father and his mother and his friends, everybody in his world, all of his life, that when you see an insect, you stomp on it. When you see an ant, you step on it. You go out of your way to put your foot over on it and crush it and spin your foot to make sure it's gone. And whenever you see a snake, oh, how ugly. No matter what kind of snake it is, you say, oh, how ugly. And you want to kill it right away. You're saying, how can you unconditionally love all of these creatures, great and small, which you have learned not to love all of your life? Well, I say to you, Joseph, just become a child again. And when you become a child again, you love everything and you want to play with everything and you have a lot of fun. And then, once you have learned, then you go back and do the things you want to do and be loving with snakes and bugs and ants and insects and all these things, because they're nice beings, nice creatures. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Are you going to do that? No.
I can't do it.
You got a what?
I can't do it.
You can do it? Well, most people just want to stomp on the animal, stomp on the critter. Now, I say the best way to do this is not to create it in your world. I am surrounded by the pure white light of love. All entering my world is the pure white light of love. All creatures coming into my world are unconditionally loving. I unconditionally love all creatures coming into my world, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they are. No matter what type my work is, if I ever look down and see beautiful eyes shining up at me, I will say, all is in divine order. And it's peace, it's peace, it's peace. And then, it's peace. Now, we had snakes coming on our meeting room outdoors. We were outdoors under the live oak trees. And I had a group of about 50 people there for a Sunday service. And one of my students said to his wife, "Sweetheart, there's a snake coming, a rattlesnake coming right toward me." And so she spoke up and said, "Dr. Barley, there's a rattlesnake coming toward me." And I said, "Did you want him?" And the husband said, "Yes. I was wondering how they looked. I haven't seen them close up for a long time." And I said, "You still want him?" And she said, "No." I said, "Okay, rattlesnake, you go play. Enjoy yourself. You're disturbing our matches. We're disturbing all of the things that they're doing, and we don't want to disturb them, you know. So we tell them to go away." But I told them, "Snake, just go off and play." I wasn't angry with him. I wasn't fearful of him. I just told him to go away, and he went away. And then another time, I had another group of people touring the property and the meditation paths, and they sat down on a bench to hear a lecture I was giving, and behind them rattled a rattle. And the bench fell over, and they fell right in the bushes. And the rattle went away, and I said, "Now, just a minute, you guys. You're frightening the snakes around here. Now, stop it. Now, snake, you know better than that. You live here now. You go off and play and let it all alone." And he went off, and he played and let it all alone. You see, we can do that. But for myself, I didn't create snakes on my path. These people had such a strong drive to experience these snakes, to experience these critters on the path, that there it was. There it was. And every time they came out to visit, every time this one doctor came out and brought his son along and was going to just tour the property, there were snakes everywhere. He had snakes at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of the trip. He just was snake-hounded, because it was in his consciousness. Now, he has come out since, and they have not been so bad. I think in about 6 times that he came out recently, only once were there snakes bothering him. How about you? You like that too? So you guys, you're wonderful. I love you. You got a question?
Yes.
Okay, bring it here. Let's see what you got. And I'll see how I read this one here. Oh, another one too. Very good. Thank you. Okay. As we work with people, if we have no emotions, how do we cope with people's expectations of us? Because normally people are judgmental, usually even if you do not judge. Well, this is one big lie from the beginning to end. What you have said here is that as we work with people, if we have and no emotions, how do we cope with people's expectations of us? You have the biggest emotion in the world. You think they expect something of you, and they don't give a damn. You think they expect something, and that's where the problem comes in. So what you want to do, I recommend, is that you think they think that you're the nicest guy in the world. You think that they are happy with themselves. You think that they are fulfilled and in every way magnificent people. And you see, when you think those thoughts, then what kind of response are you going to get back? You're going to get thoughts back like that. And then you say here, because normally people are judgmental, usually, even if you do not judge. How can you know they're judgmental if you do not judge? You see, by our very questions, we put ourselves in jeopardy. We have to be so careful. I know you didn't. You meant this with the sincerity of your heart, and the question under any circumstance would be a good one, but under the circumstance of our lecture today, it is one where you're saying, I am not the creator of my world. I'm not responsible for people in my world who are naughty and who don't have good attitudes or are not friendly. I'm not responsible for them. That's unfair to make me responsible for other people in my world. Hey, when your brothers and sisters are unhappy, you caused it. Because you could have turned around and said, hey, you guys are wonderful. You're always doing nice things for each other. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. And you can say it right now, too. Even though they're up in their 30s, you know. You can say the nice things to them, too. And it is so. But you are the creator of your world. And you are the creator of everything in your world. And every time I get something like this from you or anybody else, you wake me up. You get me excited again. And I'm happy about it. And I love it. But just remember, whatever you see out there is a reflection of that mirror inside of you. And if you see anything that's a little bit unhappy, change that reflection right away. Put on a big smile, put on a big happy face, and go and offer everybody a cigar. And they'll say, what's this here? Do you just have a baby? No, no, no. I just had a great idea. And I'm giving birth to this great idea. And you know what that idea is? What? I unconditionally love you. I think you're wonderful. And I think you're nuts, but I'll take the cigar. See, you changed the whole world by just taking charge, however you go about doing it. Just taking charge and making sure that everybody lives according to the picture you have inside of yourself. You're not saying, hey, I want you to smile. I want you to be happy. I don't want you to be sad. I don't want you to be mad. And that only makes them madder. It only makes them worse. But when you go at them, say, well, I got a cigar for each one of you. Well, I don't smoke, but what's a cigar for? Well, you know, I just had a baby. You did? Who's the wife? Who's the woman? I thought your wife was not going to have any more. You know, you already got 36 kids. And you said, well, I'm having new thoughts now. I'm having loving thoughts. And my loving thought is of you. And I'm thinking, you are unconditional love, just like me. And you look at everybody and you're just showering them with your pixie dust and saying, you're a nice person. You're a good person. You're a wonderful person. And just tuck your head off. And by the time you're done, you'll believe it. And they will too. But you're not doing it because you want them to believe it. You're doing it because you want yourself to understand that this, you're the creator of your world, and this is your creation. Agreed? Yeah. You're a good guy. Now let's see what this other question is here. Oh, we got one from you too. Super. Oh, I like that. Is my life new dimension? Okay. So, let's see. Here we got Lucky. And Lucky says, I am the luckiest man in the world. If everyone in the world had a name like mine, Lucky, they would all be enjoying the same lucky life that I'm enjoying. And I am so blessed and so happy. I'm going to throw a party this afternoon, and I'm going to serve filet mignon steaks and cigars for everybody. Thank you, Lucky. That's super. I tell you. Now, And then, as a P.S., he adds here, is it proper to do something that is against one's conscience just because Dale's boss? Just because what?
Just because one's boss.
Yes. My goodness, there's light. Just because one's boss has instructed him to do so. Assuming that you disappointed someone and that person wants to know why, what do you tell them? Well, these two questions, right?
Yes.
Okay. Here, just hold that a minute. Okay. First question, is it proper to do something that is against one's conscience just because one's boss has instructed him to do so? Well, yes, it's right to do that. It's right to lie and cheat and steal, and it's right to do bad things, and it's okay to do those things and get everything out of whack in life. That's perfectly okay. Herbie, you're being facetious. No, I'm not. You put that cause in motion, you get that respect. Now, you went through this yourself recently, and so you know what you're talking about. But what did you do? You stood up for what you believed, and you said, no, that is not something I want to participate. We don't need to know what it is. That's not something I want to participate in. And the boss says, okay, I understand that you have your values and you can't do that, and so that's okay. You know, I'll give that job to somebody else, and everybody else hears about it and thinks you're stupid, and what are you supposed to do? Nothing. Do you think life's going to be a bowl of cherries as you stand up for the truth? Life is going to be filled with all sorts of great experiences for everybody when they stand up for principle. And as you stand up for principle, you're going to have all sorts of things being said about you. All sorts of things, but, you know, he cheated, he lied, he'd stolen. I don't know why he doesn't do it this time. And the rest of us have done it, and we've all done this sort of thing. Why doesn't he do it too? And you just stand up and you say, hey, I know who I am. I know who I am. All right, Lucky. You came over to my house, and you said, Herb, I want to wash your windows for you on Thursday at noon. Is that okay with you? Fine with me, anytime you want. So, noon comes along, you can't come. So you call and you say, Herb, I got something else I want to do. A lot more fun than washing windows, I assure you. And I can't come over and wash your windows. I'd say, okay. No. You're the one who's damaging yourself by not following through on principle, by not following through on what you know to be the truth. Now, if you had called me up and said, Herb, I won't be able to wash your windows on Thursday. Sorry about that. Or not sorry or nothing, just I didn't be able to do it. I'd say, okay. It was a gift anyhow, and I appreciate it when you do it. And when you don't do it, I just appreciate it. But you see, the moment you say, I can't make it because, then you're lying, even though it's true. Because you could not do the other thing and you could wash the windows. And here, you could not tell about what your conscience to has instructed to do something that you're not harmonious with. Well, if your boss says, I want you to scrub the floor, I know, your boss wants you to scrub the toilet, and you don't scrub toilets for anybody. You just say to your boss, okay, I'll see it, it's done. And then you go to the janitor and say, when you have a few minutes, will you scrub this toilet for me? And the janitor says, glad to do it. And he does it. Now, did the boss want you to scrub it, or did he want the toilet scrubbed? And was he so irritated at the janitor because the janitor wouldn't do it that he got after you? And so, who knows? So, you be creative about it. You be creative and say to the boss, hey, boss, I got an idea. What about if you and I go and have a beer and tell the janitor to clean the toilet while we're gone? Does that make sense to you? Boss says, I don't know why I didn't think of it myself. Who's paying? And you say, well, you are, boss. It's your toilet. And the boss says, smart man. You make a good executive in this company. You know how to make money jump and squeak and run and flow. But you see, you say, Herb, where are you coming up with these crazy ideas? Well, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Are you confident enough in you and your job that your job is going to be yours? Are you confident enough in your job that you're not afraid to tell the truth as you see it? Yeah. So you just do it. And you can. But better yet, Mr. Lucky, don't create anybody asking you to do anything. Just create everyone saying, may I help you? May I do this for you? May I be in your world because you're wonderful. I love a man of principle. I haven't found so many in my life. When I saw you and I know your principle, oh boy, I felt like I'd gone to heaven, you know. Everything's in divine order. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said here, to assume that you disappoint, I should turn on the light again here. It does get dark in here, you know. Assuming that you disappointed someone and the person wants to know why, what do you tell him? Okay, you've already said it's a man and you disappointed him. Obviously you didn't disappoint him in love, but you disappointed him. So you go up to him because you know you disappointed him. You shouldn't know you disappointed him. If you disappoint someone, it doesn't make any difference to you. That's what you intended to do. Whatever you did, not that it disappoints somebody, but you intend to do what you ever did. And so you go up to this person and you say, hey, Fred, I can tell by the vibrations I shook your boat. I'm sorry I disappointed you. What I really meant to do was to push you in the lake, but I didn't have the strength to do it. But I'm sorry I disappointed you. Will you forgive me? And Fred will say, you wanted to push me in the lake? Why? Well, because I know how much you like to go swimming, and you don't have the courage to go swimming during your office hours, and so I was going to help you take a little swim right in the middle of the day. Oh, stop it, Lucky. What kind of nonsense are you pulling here? And you see, what you want to do at all times is to dissolve the conflict. And you dissolve the conflict by oftentimes being stupid on your side. By doing something irrational, not bad, but just a little irrational, just a little foolish, and pretty soon both of you are laughing your heads off. Both of you are looking at the whole thing from a different point of view. Now, that's what I would do. And I have not run into those situations very often because I don't create them in my life. But if ever you create one like that in your life, just do what Jesus told you to do. And what did Jesus tell you to do? Lucky, what did Jesus tell you to do? Quickly. Now, just a minute. We're letting him answer. We're letting him answer this. Quickly. Agree. Huh? What? Come, Lucky. Agree with your adversary quickly. Don't accept it. Agree with your adversary quickly. Lucky, you stink. And you say, gee, Herb, I didn't know you ever even thought about me. I'm sorry if my stink offends you, but you're certainly a wonderful guy. You certainly make me feel good whenever I'm around you. I just feel like life's worth living when I hear you talk to the rest of them, you know, if you can say things like that. And he stands there, you know. He cannot be upset with you. He cannot be unhappy with you. He cannot tear you apart. He has to say, Lucky, I don't know what I did to deserve you, but you're a winner. Number one winner. Okay? Make sense?
No.
Help any way? Okay, now we look at the one from the young lad here. We'll turn on the light to make sure that it is properly interpreted, read, discussed, described, revealed. My question, what do you have to say about someone who was used to practicing meditation and now does not anymore, but always is in the consciousness of knowing that she knows? Well, when you found that your mother wasn't practicing her meditation anymore, the thing for you to do is to practice your meditation and look at your mom and think to yourself, hey, I've got the greatest mom in the whole world. She's the most thoughtful, the most lovely, the most gracious, the most intelligent, the most fantastic woman in the world. She is one of the great mathematicians of our times. And I am so brilliant. I am such a brilliant young man. I know how to wind my mom around my little finger if I want to. And so what I do, I say to my mom, you know, Mom, I'm glad Dad married you and you're my mom. I am so glad about that. I am so thankful every night. And every night I'm thankful that you're in my world because you make me feel so good. You make me feel so wonderful. Now, you know, Chitterby, that's a meditation on your part. That's a meditation on your part. And you don't have to say it out loud to your mom. You can just say it in your heart. And when you say it in your heart, you know what happens to you? Your whole world just flows harmoniously. And all of the things that were problems before now are just a bunch of solutions. And every desire of your heart, and you got lots of them, comes right to you. Every new suit of clothes you want, every sporting good clothing that you want, every sporting good games, every school book, every computer system that you want, the new Apple AirBook that you want because it's light to carry and nice to have around, she buys you two of them, one for her and one for you, so that the two of you can keep track of things together. But hey, you're rich. You're very rich. Now just remember, let her spend things on you. Let her buy things for you. And just say, thanks, Mom. And then say it again and again. And say, thanks, Mom. And then say, Mom, I look just as resplendent as you do. You know what that means? Resplendent means looking very fantastic, like a prince. I look just as gorgeous as you do, Mom. And your mom will say, but you know, I bought this new outfit of mine and I didn't even think of getting you a new outfit. Let's go down and pick up something right now for you. Is that okay with you? Are you ready? Yeah, yeah. Are you ready for some new sporting games and stuff to play with? Well, my mom doesn't have that much money. Don't you ever, ever, ever think that your mom doesn't have enough money. Don't you ever think that? My mother is what? What's the word? You tell me.
Rich.
Independently.
Wealthy.
Come on now.
Independently wealthy.
Super! See, you knew it. My mom is independently wealthy. My mom is independently... Now, you put that cause in motion in relation to yourself. Now, you can say, I am independently wealthy for yourself. And then somebody comes along and gives you an estate of about $12 or $15 million and go on from there. But the thing is, whatever you want to say, whatever you can allow yourself to think about, I am independently wealthy, Mom is independently wealthy. But you know, Chitterby, your mom loves to spend money on you. And every time your mom looks at you, She looks at you and says, he is the most handsome young man in the entire world. He is the most thoughtful, generous, kind young man ever to live, and he's my son. I am so grateful for having him in my world. That's what your mom says all the time. She tells me that. She writes me letters and sends me all sorts of books that are about you and about how great you are and how fantastic you are. And I say, now come on, Grace, keep that money and buy more clothes for your son. Get him a new haircut. His hair is getting a little long. Get him all set up sparkly, you know. Because, you know, your son is 14, you're 14, 15?
14.
And that's just the age where girls start looking at him. Now, the boys don't look at the girls, but the girls start looking at them. And you want him to be the prize pick for any sharing friends that he might have. They don't have relationships, they don't have sex, they don't have all the things that we worry about. All they have is being good, fantastic teenagers, having a ball, being the kind of children that we are in our heart. The best, the very best. So, does that help?
Yes.
Does that help, huh? Okay. But it's great.
Does it mean, I don't know if you can hear me well, not everything is right. It's a follow-up to what you have said so far. What I mean is that, assuming, for instance, somebody, like it was stated, that somebody who used to, meditate and no longer does that anymore, and begin to have that knowing in you that you know.
Did you write this note?
Yes. So.
Hi, lucky you, lucky you. You didn't sign it or anything. I didn't know who. Okay.
So,
now,
so
this.
I can.
Well, let's look at this list here with you in mind now. And let's see what comes up with you here. What do you have to say when someone who was used to practicing meditation and now does not anymore, but always is in the consciousness of knowing that she knows? Well, if this is really true, praise God.
Amen.
if this is really true, that she knows that she knows, and she's not practicing meditation, she's just not practicing meditation the way you used to see her do it. And there's many, many ways to practice meditation. We didn't go into all of them, but there are many ways to practice meditation. Now, if you were just to look at this woman, or lady, or whoever it is, if you were just to look at her and in your heart say, I bless you, and I bless you, and I bless you, I surround you with my unconditional love, I surround you with my unconditional. Every way that you go is beautiful. Every path you go is lovely. All your conditions in your life are fulfilling for you and great. Now, you're interested in her, and so that's why you're saying these things. Now, you could say, in a simpler way, I'm whole and perfect, I'm fantastic, and I create everyone in my world as rewarding, supportive, and upstanding and holding me in every good way. You see? Now, could you do that?
Yes.
Or do you have such a hang-up about
I have one experience. I'm the one passing through that experience. I is passing through that experience in my life.
She no longer practices meditation.
Well, what you want to do is always remember that it's not the other person, it's you. Now, all you have to do, whoever this person is to say in your heart, I love you, I love you, I love you. And say in your heart, I see your life filled with all good and beautiful things, and mean it. And say in your heart, I am so blessed to have you in my world, and get your big nose off her back off her, what she's doing, how she's doing. It's none of your business. If she blows it all, it's her situation, not yours. Yours is only to give her unconditional love and enjoy her living in unconditional love. See? It's tough. It's tough, but it works.
If she is the person going through an experience, she is not without us in the house. She is not meditating as before.
As an employee?
For her.
For
her? She's not doing it as before.
But she's no longer meditating.
Just say I used to. She lives in the awareness, but she does not meditate.
Okay.
But he has not.
She is talking. The notes is speaking about her. She is the person that is no longer meditating.
Well, it really doesn't matter who it is, does it? It's a matter that she changes her consciousness about herself. She changes her consciousness about herself, and when you do that, what if it happens to me? What if it happens to me? What if it happens? What if what happens to you?
What will discuss to you? She used to meditate, but now she doesn't meditate.
Well, she lives in the awareness.
But she lives in the awareness that she lives.
What do you have to say about someone who was used to practicing meditation? Well, I mean, what business is that of yours? It's
she
you.
Is someone.
All right, you were used to practicing meditation.
Yes.
Oh my goodness sakes, we're getting pay dirt here.
Let me express it better. Have you gotten the idea?
Yeah, no.
You've gotten the idea?
Yeah. And thank you.
Okay.
So, these objects...
Why the conflict is because she is writing in the... second person instead of first person.
Oh, I see.
So she's referring to someone else instead of writing I.
Yes.
So everything was misunderstood.
Yeah. Well,
now it's I.
If you have the courage to say I when you mean I, then great things can happen. Now, it doesn't matter that it's a second person. Because if you say second person, and then you say, all is in divine order, it's still in divine order from you. And if you're in a second person saying all these things, and then you say, all is in divine order, you say, I see you successful, happy. Now, you're saying you're not practicing meditation any longer?
Yes.
Well, maybe it's about time you stopped. Maybe it's about time you stop. Maybe it's about time you stop meditating in a way that was not harmonious with you, in a way that did not leave you feeling good inside, in a way that did not bring any results. You know, we stay with things so long because we paid for the meditation course, or we bought the book, or we learned it from someone that we thought very highly of, and we're different now. We're different now. Now, you say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All that follow me shall have eternal life. Now, can you say that of yourself? You say, well, not really. And that's something Jesus said. And I don't fool around with that. Well, Jesus said, the things that I do ye shall do also, and greater things than these shall ye do. Now, if you're going to start picking, you know, little pittances about things, you're going to give yourself a hard time. Number one, remember, if people tell you they don't like what you're doing, maybe you shouldn't like what you're doing. If people tell you that that dress doesn't look good on you, and you keep wearing it because I bought it and I'm going to wear it and it's expensive, and then when the truth is known, you always felt terrible every time you wore it, but you felt you had to wear it because you paid so much money for it. You had to get your money's worth out of it. And you always felt terrible every time you wore it. And you always felt terrible. And you never stopped wearing it. And the minute you stopped wearing it, then you felt guilty that people think that you're not wearing the dress anymore because they told you not to wear it. And This is when you think everybody is running your world. And we do. We feel everybody in the world is trying to tell us how to live our life and how to do what we're doing. We feel that. Now, are you going to keep on feeling that way all of your life? And no. When's a good time to stop? Yesterday, you know. When's a good time to stop? Right this minute, right this second. And what are you going to put in its place? You tell me right now.
Mystical.
I like me.
Mystical word, a statement, emotion. I like me.
That's right. I like me. All is in divine order. I like me. And when you start saying, I like me, you're going to start exuding that happy feeling about yourself, liking yourself, and everybody's going to look at you and say, boy, what kind of happy juice did you take, you know? When did you turn on the happy juice? And you'll say, well, I told you, I bought it. I bought it in a seminar, and it cost me dearly because I had to give up the not liking me to like me. And it was fun. And when I gave it up, the whole seminar burst out laughing and said, hooray, she's free today. What a fantastic woman. Grace, were you trying to raise your hand?
No.
Okay, then keep it down. You said yes or no? Yes or no?
No.
No, okay. I mean, you're like your son. He's got his hand up here all the time. I think when he's in school and he's got his hand up all the time, the teacher can never say he's not raising his hand and agreeing to answer questions, you know. And I think he likes to be a head of the class, and he likes to always answer the question because he always knows the answer. Yes. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, you bet.
Well.
You bet. You're
fantastic.
Good. You're a good chair.
Yeah.
So, did I mess everything up well enough? We'll continue tomorrow and at 6 to 7. What do we do?
Consultation.
Huh?
Consultation.
Right, consultation 6 to 7.
One-to-one.
Okay, so if any of you have anything that you feel talking with me privately would be good for you about, let's. Sylvia, you set it up, okay?
Positive thoughts.
Okay, good. Thank you.